Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight!
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody, on this Sunday night, January 29th, to the 158th episode of Dave's Gone By. That's right, we're on from 9 to 10 now on WGBB Sunday nights. The perfect way to start your week, or end your week, or even end your life. If you're thinking of committing suicide tonight, let mine be the last voice you hear. Don't bother with a note, don't worry about a will, just sit back, take the pills, and drift off listening to an hour of talk radio, comedy, and music. And if your family or your loved ones wonder why you decided to take your life, leave the radio on. Let's face it, 10 minutes of me is enough to drive anyone off a bridge. But make sure you don't OD too early. Don't cock the pistol till 9:58. Don't turn on the gas till at least the fourth commercial, because we do have a fun program planned tonight. And why'd you bother tuning in if you didn't want to spend the next 55 minutes wandering through the neighborhood with me, Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, journalist, humorist, and audio Kevorkian. Special guest tonight is a fellow toiler in the radio garden, Bob Cudmore. Bob's been doing radio for years, and he's currently the morning host for AM 1570 WVTL in Amsterdam, New York. The Bob Cudmore Show is local-oriented, but also has interviews and experts and special segments. If you don't live in that mid-state area of Montgomery and Fulton County in New York State, you can still hear the Cudmore Show every weekday on the web. 1570WVTL.com is the site and the stream. Now, Bob Cudmore is the guest. He's had me on his show several times, talking about theater, about radio. We always have a marvelous chat. So it's certainly time I returned the favor. Should be a lot of fun. And also on the program tonight, feels like it's been ages since we did The News Gone By. A look at current events in a Jon Stewart-y, Saturday Night Live-y, countdown-y kind of a way. Items tonight include dead cats, toilets, beer, donuts, Google, karaoke, Ricky Martin, and softcore porn. And no, that's not all one story. So you see, there's at least half a dozen reasons to stay alive for the duration of this broadcast, even if it's just for the sake of our sponsors. Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Hewlett. No job too big or too small, no price unfair at Minuteman, plus 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. And my listeners also get 10% off if you subscribe to Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, a bible of the Broadway and off-Broadway industry for more than 60 years. Performing Arts Insider is Broadway the best way. And MortgagesRock.com. The housing bubble just won't pop, so get in now and reach the top. MortgagesRock.com gives you the tools and the support to be a mortgage broker. You bring in the clients looking for refinances or home equity loans. They help you close the deal and get the commission. And the more work you do, the more money you keep. Discount Funding Associates runs MortgagesRock.com. They're a licensed broker in New York State with an office right in the five towns. So check them out, MortgagesRock.com. Making money never sounded so good. So stay with us for a bunch of good sounds tonight, all of them rated DGB-13, this program's equivalent to PG-13. Plus, we can get away with a little more at 9 than we could at 7, so Lord knows, I'm going to try. Bob Cudmore joining us in a few, but first, the news gone by on Dave's Gone By, just one commercial away.
And Dave Lefkowitz is here for the play-by-play. The play-by-play-by-play by Dave in his book of plays, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Comedies, satirical, silly, sad, and strange, all collected in a great-looking book. Just $20 hardcover, $12 soft. Email davesdongby at AOL.com or visit davesdongby.org for Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Da-da-da-da-da-da! Play Dave! Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. I'd mentioned on the show that I went back for a second time to one of those big radio media conventions with all these people who were trying to pitch folks from TV and print and media on their books, on their products, on their ideas and stuff, because they wanted to get on the air. They wanted to be part of interviews and sell their stuff or just get publicity for themselves. And one of the nice things about being part of that is not just getting free loot or meeting all these folks and having all these potential interview people to talk to, but also being among peers and colleagues and networking and making friends with those kinds of folks. And one of the fellas that I met is a fellow named Bob Cudmore, who has been doing radio for quite a few years. He's also a bit of a historian of upstate New York. I found him very personable and fun, and I've been on his show once or twice talking about the theater and talking about the conference. So I thought only fair, only righteous to have Bob on Dave's Gone By. So Bob Cudmore, welcome to the neighborhood.
Well, how you doing there, Dave? Good to be with you.
Good to be with you, too. So, Bob, you've been on WVTL in Amsterdam, New York for about 2 years.
Right. The station went talk a little bit before that. And I was kind of looking around for something to do in my elder years. I used to do talk radio. I mean, I basically have done radio on and off for over 40 years, but my big gig left me in 1993, and then I went into public relations. But then I started doing radio again about 4 or 5 years ago, first at another little itty-bitty station up here in upstate New York, and now I'm at a teensy-weensy station in upstate New York. So.
Is VTL, what's like a wattage or
it's a 1,000-watt station. It's community radio. We're a community radio station, and we're an isolated enough community, the Amsterdam area. It's in the Mohawk Valley west of Albany, mm-hmm. that it makes sense to talk to the mayor every week and the county sheriff and the people at the local library and the local museum. Heck, we even do lost cat announcements.
I'm sorry, wash cap announcement?
No, lost cats.
Oh, lost cats.
We could do those others, too, if you wanted.
I hate to say it, but GBB, we haven't really done that in a long time, but back under the previous management, they would do that. If there was a dog or a lost thing, they would announce it every hour and ask all the different program hosts to kind of do a 30-second.
We'll do anything. I mean, we're just trying to, you know, secure some kind of audience, and it seems to be working out. I mean, I have an advantage in Amsterdam in that I'm from there. I don't, in fact, live there right now. I live about 15 miles away, but I'm a native of Amsterdam. My parents live there and so on and so forth, and I know a lot about it. It's an interesting little city. It's almost like a little Brooklyn in that Amsterdam, in its own way, has been this melting pot over the years, you know, with all kinds of different immigrant groups coming in and going out and staying and leaving and fighting with each other.
Well, you're something of a historian of that whole area. I mean, not just in almost a spare time way, but almost like a part-time career thing. Am I right?
Some years ago, I also have done over the years newspaper columns for papers in this up area of upstate New York. And I started writing about a city called Nero, New York, which is kind of my own version of Lake Wobegon, the Garrison Keillor place, except Nero's in upstate New York, and the name is pointed in that here upstate, you know, we have a lot of those classical names, you know, Syracuse and places like that, that were named after, Ithaca, the old Greek and Roman names. Mm-hmm. And the point of the Nero story was the people in Nero started the city so late that all the good names like Troy and Ithaca and Syracuse, they were all taken. So they thought Nero sounded good. It was only after they had the city signs up and everything, they found out that Nero was a corrupt emperor who burned his city down. But by then it was too late to replace the sign.
Hey, don't forget, look, Queens has Flushing, so you guys
there
are ahead of the game.
There you go.
I mean, or you heard some
but
of
the
but
the thing about
upstate
New York, and it really kind of applies to my native city of Amsterdam, is that we're very depressed people. We're very negative people. You know, whatever the question upstate, the answer is no. You find that out when you come up here. You know, it's like, I don't blame you as a compliment in upstate New York. You know, we're just we're just very negative. We don't think anything's ever going to work out because, you know, the experience of most of us is that the mills moved out 50 years ago and nothing good has happened since.
Are you at least near college towns?
Not too near. Amsterdam may be one of the few, well, Nero's not near a college town for sure, but Amsterdam, my real hometown, is one of the few places, I think, in upstate New York that doesn't have a college. The nearest college is near Johnstown, which is about 10, 15 miles away.
No, I'm sorry to be so ignorant about this, but is Nero made up or is Nero real?
Well, it's hard to tell, but it probably is made up.
Okay, just checking on that.
Because people do get confused about that. In fact, the paper I write for now always makes me put in a line that says it's a fictional city. But when I do the stuff on the radio, I try to take that out. And so that people really get the sense that it's, it could be real or is real.
Israel is halfway across the world.
Your Israel is something else altogether. Although, speaking of Israel or something like that, I told you about ethnic groups. Maybe I mentioned this to you. It's one of my stories about Amsterdam, that our most famous person is Jewish.
That's okay.
Kirk Douglas was born Isser Danielovich.
Amsterdam, New York. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, well, in fact, he wrote a book called The Ragman's Son, which he probably pointed out quite correctly that Amsterdam was quite an anti-Semitic city, or there certainly was that strain there, and that was true. Although over the years, the city has elected two Jewish mayors.
Mazel Tov.
And
you said how many people are roughly in that area?
Well, in Amsterdam right now, there's about 17,000, and when I was a kid, the population was something like twice that.
Wow, so once those mills went...
Yeah, the mills went south. They were in Amsterdam, they were carpet mills, and my father, in fact, was a carpet weaver, and my grandfather was a weaver, and I'm not.
So, how did you go from non-weaving into weaving stories on the radio?
Yeah, I mean, I just always liked radio. I started in radio when I was in high school. I was like 16 years old in Amsterdam. I was my first job, I was the English announcer on the Polish show.
Which means you had to do it in Armenian. So
right,
got,
no,
yeah,
I did the commercials in English on the Polish show.
And it was about, what station was that?
Well, that was the other station in town, WCSS by name.
Which still exists?
Yeah, they still exist.
Oh, wow.
It's funny, Amsterdam, oddly enough, is this little hot media market. We've got two radio stations, a daily paper, two other daily papers cover the city. I mean, there's an all-news cable channel who has a bureau there. So, I mean, it's like we haven't learned yet that, that things are bad. You know?
Are there underground nukes or something? Is there a reason that they're keeping that city so...
I don't know. There's a lot of scrutiny up here.
I guess. Well, that's good. Must be a pretty nice place to live, although I'm sure the winters are a little tough.
Well, they are. Yeah, we had snow the other day when the big whatever it was came through after Wilma.
Right.
But not that much snow. But I'm like a lot of people up here. I'm just obsessed with the weather. You know, I watch all three or four or five of the TV weathermen that come out of the big stations, TV stations in Albany, you know. And whenever they start beating the drum, I kind of head down to the basement with my poodle dog and cower in the corner.
Now, speaking of cowering in the corner, let's take you from that Polish show on the radio. How did you go? I mean, did you then grow into other things at that same station, or did you start circulating?
Well, I was at that station when I was in high school.
Right.
And when I went away to college and went to Boston University, which is known for its communications program. Howard Stern went there, but I'm older.
Right.
But I didn't study communication. I studied English literature because it was Vietnam. Also, I thought became a teacher, I could not be drafted. But it turned out I failed the physical.
How did you fail? What did they find wrong?
I was overweight and had high blood pressure. Of course, it probably had a lot to do with the donuts I had that morning and the two packs of cigarettes I smoked. But,
right.
It was almost like an Arlo Guthrie story. When I went for my physical, I think there were about three of us that passed. Everybody had some sort of an angle.
Man, those days when they let you out for flat feet.
Oh, I know. Well, they wouldn't do that then, but, you know, I knew I was in good shape when I got on the scale and the sergeant laughed.
Oh, good. So, yeah, I guess if you pack in for like 2 weeks and just like binge way back when.
Yeah.
I guess that was a great way to just sort of get out of it, you know? Would you have been, was that, what, around what years would that have been? Did that keep you out any more?
67 or 68 that I was drafted. I was still in school. In fact, at Boston U, Boston U was a real hotbed of Eastern Seaboard radicalism.
Cool.
And people I went to school with, I wasn't particularly radical myself, but he was sort of a, you know, never rose to the level of, I don't know, Abbie Hoffman or those folks, I don't think, and maybe you've never heard of the man, but...
I know Abbie, I never met Abbie Hoffman, but I know Jerry Rubin.
Our local radical was Ray Mungo, who, you know, was kind of sort of a friend of mine back when I was in college. He was the editor of the student paper, one of the first papers to call for the impeachment at LBJ. He later went on to be one of the founders of a commune in Vermont called Total Loss Farm.
Oh,
and
boy.
He also founded the Liberation News Service, or he's one of the people that was involved in that.
He didn't poison 4,000 people with Kool-Aid, did he?
No. Now he's a
stockbroker.
He's a teacher and a gay rights activist out right. in California. I think he teaches English at a community college. So.
Cool.
So those were sort of his glory days, I think, back at Boston U in the 60s.
Were
he
you
had
part
this
of...
RAC
sorry.
Counselor then, who was real regular Army, but he thought we should know all the rules about the... the draft, and so he had all the married students, I was married at the time, reject their student deferments, because there was some sort of loophole then, if you took a student deferment, you could never then have a fatherhood deferment. So when I rejected my deferment, I got called up for the Army, and I failed the physical. But those who passed, who were married and later had children, somehow got some kind of exemption because of this. It's some sort of little loophole in the law. They had loopholes even back then.
Well, okay, that's fine. Yeah, I guess if you're white from New York, you have a few more options than if you're black from Missouri.
Amen to that. And also, some of the folks, like our current leaders, you know, were in the National Guard for different times.
Exactly.
You know, National Guard was a different sort of a creature back then.
Okay, listen to me. No, I mean, listen to me on Compact Disc, where bunches of past episodes of Dave's Gone By are yours to hear over and over again. Comedy sketches like the Baghdad Elections and Handyman Yoni, visits with guests like Reckless Eric and Julie Haggerty, punchlines and politics in the News Gone By, all just $12 a disc, shipping included. Visit davesgoneby.org or call 516-295-1511 for me on CD.
Hi, this is radio personality Bob Cudmore, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
Back to, out of the Army, into a microphone.
Yeah, well...
God, that's a weird...
Yeah, I started work backwards in my career. I after Boston University, I worked in radio in Boston.
Sure.
Then I left there and went to Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and lived there for a long time. Lived there for like 10, 11 years at a radio station in Pittsfield. WBEC in the 1970s, and did the morning show there, and it was wonderful. Just loved it. And then
what kind of show was it? Talk? Was it music?
Yeah, talk and music. You know, it was like talk was sort of evolving then.
Mm-hmm.
I would do kind of rather similar to the show I'm doing now, except it was back then, and it was, you know, radio was a bigger deal then. You know, I hate to say that, but it's true. You know, I mean, I probably had never had as much fun or kind of impact on a community as I did on Pittsfield back in the 1970s. You know, we had two little radio stations and ultimately three, and we're all competing like crazy, and it was just a lot of fun. You know, kind of like the days, I suppose, in New York City when they had the WABC and the WINS people fight, you know, competing with each other.
So right.
It was a lot of fun, but the only trouble was, and this is sort of typical of radio, there was no money in it.
Oh.
So eventually I looked around for something else, and then I found something else over in the Capital District, which is where I came from, you know, of upstate New York. So my biggest gig was I worked at WGY in Albany, or technically in Schenectady. We used to actually say Schenectady back then, which is a 50,000-watt AM talk station.
Yeah.
It was Going Talk at the time, and I did the nighttime talk show basically until Rush Limbaugh and Company arrived. And there were two problems with that. I worked there from 1980 to 1993, doing the nighttime talk show. And that was wonderful. You know, it was really kind of the high point of my career in terms of being a big station, or reasonably large
station. Well, 50,000, I mean, that can, you know, if they don't turn the amperage down, that will bounce all the way to Kansas.
Yeah, and it had a good name. It was one of America's oldest radio stations. And when it first was there, it was owned by General Electric. But then, like a lot of things in radio, it was bought and sold 16 ways to Sunday. Now it's owned by Clear Channel. But when I was... the people that let me go, I mean, the place was basically bankrupt. You know, they just had their kind of reverses. But,
how did Rush Limbaugh affect everything?
Well, I think it happened to a lot of people in radio then. You were talking the early 90s, you know, 1993. Stations in a fair amount of trouble. You know, the ratings are kind of holding in maybe at night, you know, but we aren't getting the shares. And the thing was, at the time, WGY was staffed round the clock with local hosts. And so... they brought in Rush Limbaugh, but they had to pay for him. And so to in large part to save money, and there are, you know, different versions about why I was fired, but I really think the basic thing was they just needed to save money because the money they were paying on Rush Limbaugh and other stations around the country were doing this. They just syndicated the nighttime because they had to pay Rush Limbaugh, but generally you didn't have to pay to get Tom Likas or whoever else you'd get at night, you know, to be on the station. So that way they were able to save money and get a product, you know, that would be useful. And also, I was not exactly the kind of direction that talk radio was going then. I wasn't a right-wing conservative. I tended to be more of a liberal New Yorker kind of person. So there was also that political aspect to it.
And, well, here you were, I guess, at a certain point, middle age. You've been working in that market for, well, at one station you said you were there for about 10 years. How long were you at GYE?
13 years.
13 years.
Yes. That was a good long time, established,
right. So you get fired from something like that. How do you then pick yourself up and say, oh, my God, what next?
Yeah, I had a family then, and my kids were about ready to go to college. And
which is brutal.
I would have loved to have stayed in radio, but I talked to some of the people up here. I didn't really want to move, or that wasn't really an issue. My wife had her own career up here. We could have moved, but and also my parents were still alive in the Amsterdam area, which is near where I was. In fact, I'm still living in the same place I've lived since I came to WGY. So what I did basically was what a lot of people do. I went into public relations, and the big employer up here is the state government. I did public relations for the State University of New York for something like 8 years, and that was a good job. I basically walked out of the WGY job, walked into that job, and made about the same amount of money, and did that for 8 years, and was happy to cash that check every 2 weeks.
Sure. And then it was basically retirement time, and you
took
on radio.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's a little more dramatic than that. Sure. I don't know if I went through this whole thing. My wife passed away in 2001. She had colon cancer, Mary. And so at that time, when she passed away, and she and I had discussed this, I mean, we knew she was going to die. I mean, she had one of those prognoses from the doctor that was absolutely accurate. Her doctor told her she had 2 years to live, and she lived just 2 years. And so when she died, my wife and I had discussed, well, what am I going to do? Because I really don't have the responsibilities anymore. So I did one of the things they always tell widows and widowers not to do in the first year after their spouse dies. I quit my job. I mean, I didn't particularly dislike it, but I didn't like it very much. So I decided I wanted to, see what else I could do going back into media. So I kept doing my writing, which I was doing on the side, and I had written this book about Nero, the upstate city, and I was writing some newspaper columns. And by and by, I drifted into some radio jobs, and the WVTL one that I have now is kind of, seems to be okay. I don't know how long I'll do it. I mean, when you get to be my age, everything's short term. I don't exactly expect to do this even for another 5 years, but it's been fun to do radio there. It's my hometown, and in particular, we're kind of creating something out of nothing. I mean, the station had just been simulcasting the FM country stuff that, the FM stations that are owned by this little company had been doing, and now all of a sudden we're doing local radio.
Great. By the way, can people listen to your show on the web? Is the station streaming?
Yes, we are streaming, although there are a lot of rocks in our stream. It doesn't always work. But
I believe we've been there. Well, there were many years we didn't.
We do stream. It's 1570 WVTL.
1570 WVTL.com.
Correct.
To hear the Bob Cudmore show Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. I mean, that's 4 hours, and it's not like you have a big zoo behind you. I think it's just you.
Well, yes, I do it along with another colleague of mine from the old WGY days, honestly. His name's Dave Green. I don't know, I think when you were on the show, you might have heard Dave come in and out. Dave basically is my gardener, and that's his business. After he left radio, he went into gardening and doing lawns and stuff and made some real money. But as he gets older, and he and I are about the same age, he's wanted to get back into radio, but he doesn't want to do it as dramatically as I have. So Dave and I have done this. This is our second station that we've been at. Mm-hmm. I do the show, but Dave is on the phone with me from his home studio.
Cool.
And he's more technically oriented than I, and he keeps getting all these gizmos to make him sound almost like he's right there.
Well, the idea is for you to be able to do it from home. Then you could do it until you're 90.
Yeah, well, it just that probably just wouldn't work. Uh-huh. But as long as one of us has to be at the radio station.
So he's technically the show's producer?
Guess you'd say. I mean, it's hard. Describe it. I think it's just basically we're friends, and we've been at this a long time, and we don't take each other too seriously, and that's probably good. No, we haven't showed up in the ratings yet. I mean, it's technically possible that we could, but it would be something like a 0.5 if we did,
right,
or a 0.6, because we'd be rated in the Albany Metro. Now, what we go by is hustle and BS, I guess.
Well, you know what? That's all time.
No radio standbys.
Yeah. Let me ask you, you made a film. You did a documentary about Amsterdam. I mean, I know we're going back to the whole upstate New York history thing, but you made a movie about Amsterdam history, in fact, didn't you?
Right. I've done some work over the years with the local public television station, WMHT, and for a while I was working on documentaries with a great filmmaker named Steve Dunn. Unfortunately, Steve Dunn is done at the public TV station, or they let him go a couple years ago in a cost move. He was a great filmmaker, and I had the privilege of working with him on a couple of projects, two of which I was co-producer, one the one about Amsterdam, and the other about the downtowns of the major cities up here, Albany, Schenectady, and Troy. In particular, Amsterdam, I would have to say, was, you know, like a work of a labor of love for me, and it was, you know, more intense than a lot of these TBS local history shows, just because I was starting to do research on Amsterdam history, and Steve is a real painstaking filmmaker, and it worked out very well. The show's 5 years old, and they're still showing the baby.
Cool.
Every time I turn around, it seems somebody's calling my talk show. Gee, Bob, I saw you last night, you know, on Channel 17. You know, they or WMHT, they don't call it 17.
Well, the history doesn't change. I mean, it's still what you reported on back then, or what the stories that you told.
Yeah, it was
happened.
A real moneymaker for him.
Good.
You know, for the public TV station, because Amsterdam was just thrilled to have a documentary done about it, you know, and there was a lot of material there that hadn't been covered, the different ethnic groups, you know, the Poles, the Italians, the Jews, the Latinos, you know, and also the history of the carpet mills, and we even went back to colonial times, and we just did a lot of stuff. It was an epic. It took us over a year to make it. It was a 90-minute production.
Were you behind the camera, or were you sort of, I mean, how?
No, he was behind the camera. I was in front of it. I was the narrator, but I was also mainly the script writer.
Cool.
But he was the shooter, and he was also the editor. I mean, we even had a crew. I mean, he had another couple of guys actually shooting. It was great, and it was again a real privilege to work with Steve. It's too bad he can't seem to get a place to practice his art, his craft anymore. Because I used to tell him, I sometimes think we're becoming like Gilbert and Sullivan. You know, people thought of us together. Oh, Cudmore and Dunn and Cudmore. You know.
What's playing on Broadway? I'll tell you what's playing on Broadway, and I'll do it by checking Performing Arts Insider. Off-Broadway, off-off-Broadway, off-off-off-Broadway. You keep adding offs, they'll keep adding listings. Who's in the cast? What's it about? Why is it special? Performing Arts Insider is Broadway the best way. 516-295-1511. 516-295-1511. Or see PerformingArtsInsider.com.
Hey, this is Bob Cudmore. I want you to know that you are listening to not Days Gone By, but Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
Last question for Bob Cudmore before we go. What, to your recollection, were the best, well, besides me, and the worst guests that you've ever interviewed on the radio?
I don't know. I guess I'm always just thinking. The other day, I mean, I'm always thinking recently, I had this lady on the other day, not from that publicity show, Christine Wicker, talking about magic. I just thought she was fascinating. She's
a
religious writer, and she's gone and surveyed people about magic. You know, just had a lot of interesting things to say.
Any disasters? Any like, oh my God?
There are. I can't really you know put a name to them, but you know, like the people. Because I mainly am interested, when they pitch me on a show, I'm mainly interested in stories or people that have something to say. So the worst thing for me is somebody who, you know, it's just BS, you know, they got nothing to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, go to my website, it's the millionairecode.com, you know, and you'll find out.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I'm looking for some, you know, some story. Like, I talked to a woman today about how she visited all these baseball parks. I think she was from the publicity.
Oh, was she good? Because I have her book, and I was thinking about, she was good? Cool.
Yeah, I like practically anybody with a story, and I can hardly wait now. I've got the sex therapist coming on tomorrow.
I'm sure you blocked out like a full half hour for her.
I'm ready to go.
What about famous people? Have you done, well, especially when you were on the 50,000 Water?
Yeah, well, it's funny. Not too many. I mean, you know, I talked to people like Mario Cuomo, you know, like the governor, but you know, he would do a regular thing with him. I have interviewed Kirk Douglas over the years, you know, the Amsterdam connection.
And you interviewed him in Yiddish, which I thought was really good.
That was an interesting thing. I only interviewed him for about 5 minutes, and that was, but it was interesting. And, I've talked to Walter Lantz, the creator of Woody Woodpecker.
Cool.
I don't know.
Have you taped all these things, or did they just go into the ozone?
No, I'm very bad at that. I'm probably better now. I'm saving more things now with digital audio, but I'd be hard put to find anything that I did years ago. You know, thousands of hours of shows, thousands of interviews, they're all gone.
We'll count this among the archives because we'll preserve you here on Dave's Gone By. I want to thank so much Bob Cudmore. Please listen to his radio show. You can hear the Bob Cudmore Show on WVTL out of Amsterdam, New York. It's 1570 AM, 1570WVTL.com to listen on the Internet if you're not from upstate. So listen anywhere. Bob, I want to thank you so much for visiting the neighborhood. You've been a great guest.
Well, thanks a lot, Dave. You have a good day.
You too.
Take care.
Sir, what are you doing? Nothing. Are you photocopying your butt? Yeah, isn't it cool? I want to send lots of copies. Not in a public library. I know, it's so expensive here. 25 cents a cheek. No, I mean, why not go to Hewlett Minuteman Press? Hewlett Minuteman Press? 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. They make copies, they can laminate it, print it in a booklet, put it on a mug. My ass on a mug? Wow! Call 516-569-5577. 516... Hey! Stop it! You can't copy that! But what do I put on the other side of the mug?
Wake up the global village!
My radio's on, the news is all bad, but it's good for a laugh.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. It's time for the News Gone By, a look at world and local events of the past week from a Make Love Cudmore perspective. In health news, construction begins this spring on a new wing at the Walter Reed Army Hospital. The cost will be $10 million for the new Military Amputee Training Center. It's only a temporary construction because the whole medical complex will move to a new location in a couple of years. Still, according to the Associated Press, the federal government has expressed interest in running the amputee center. Patients say that's fine so long as they take a hands-off approach. In political news, he's back! Yes, our old friend Osama bin Laden has a new video in heavy rotation on Al Jazeera. He has a funky new conciliatory tone, but underneath he's the same old Osama, singing the same sick song about terror attacks and American culpability. It's an old-school rap, but he still has the chops. I'd recommend a new stylist, though. I mean, it's been 4.5 years, and he's still wearing the same white turban and Holiday Inn bathrobe. I mean, if bin Laden ever wins an MTV award, he's going to look so ridiculous traipsing down the red carpet. Osama, dude, you're not Johnny Depp. You may have street cred, but you got to work for the glamour, if you know what I'm saying. You might have 70 virgins waiting for you in the afterlife, but Scarlett Johansson is way out of your league on this one, unless you shave, ditch the bandages on your head, and learn a little something about couture. All in all, I give the new Osama video a 4 out of 10. He's still sexier than Al-Zawahiri will ever be, but for my money, the hostage decapitation videos were hipper, more effective, and they fit better in the overall rotation. I think it's clear that what Osama bin Laden really needs is not another terror strike, but Kanye West producing. In terrorism meets technology news, Google.com is taking a brave stand against the American government. The search engine has refused a request by the Attorney General to turn over a list of all searches made during a single week. The government also wants 1 million randomly selected web addresses in Google's database. Child advocates want this information to gauge how much online material might be harmful to minors. But defenders of Google see the request as an incredible invasion of privacy, since a good 30% of searches can be linked directly to people's identities. But honestly, I can solve the whole debate right here. If the government is listening, and I'm sure they are, here's my personal list of all the words millions of Americans type into the Google search box. Porn. 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 Naked. Porn. Nude. Porn. Porn misspelled P-R-O-N. Sex. Vagina. 69. Nipple. Porn. Anal. Anus. Porn misspelled P-O-N-R. Britney Spears. Angelina Jolie. Angelina Jolie naked. Angelina Jolie nude. Porn. Victoria's Secret. Porn. Bra. Boobs. Halle Berry. Halle Berry misspelled like the Christmas ornament. Porn. 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 And the New York Yankees. Speaking of naked people bumping uglies, the New York Post's Weird But True column reports that a British judge fined a pornography company $7,000 for mislabeling. Get this. A customer sued the company because she bought, I repeat, she bought, a couple of their videos. And she was unhappy because the content wasn't explicit enough. Apparently, there were hardcore images on the box that were not part of any scenes in the softcore film. I don't know. I think it's wrong when companies mislead with their packaging, of course. But I also think the woman should have guessed from the titles that these were not quite triple X movies. Among her purchases were In Front of the Green Door, Debbie Visits Dallas Children's Hospital, Shallow Throat, and Outside Marilyn Chambers. Turning to crime news, a thief in Berlin broke into a store to steal a karaoke set. While this in itself would be enough to land the story on the news gone by, the beauty part is not the swag, but the snag. While the robber was tucking the karaoke machine into his jacket, he must have ripped open the lining, because he left a trail of feathers leading from the shop all the way back to his home. Police simply followed the feathers and shocked the hell out of him when they showed up an hour later to make an arrest. Asked how he felt about his treacherous shedding jacket, the thief said, "I admit, it let me down." Yes, 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 yes. Long-time listeners knew that sound. It's the comedy bell. The bell we ring to Harold, and if Harold's not around, to Ronald, the Dave's Gone By Bad Pun of the Week. Whenever we do the news gone by, we make a pun so wretched, so stupid, and so desperate, the only way to salvage it is by extraneous noise and distraction. Hence, the comedy bell. The bell that tells you why you should advertise your product, event, or service on Dave's Gone By. Just like you're paying attention to this segment. Just like your focus is captured by that ringing bell. Thousands of people are listening in and doing the same thing. And if you want to reach those people, folks who hang on my every ding, buying a 30 or 60 second ad is the way to do it. Remember that Dave's Gone By now airs Sunday nights at 9, not only on the radio, but on the internet, and that vintage episodes air Thursday nights on web radio. So the more you advertise, the longer you commit to us, the more your message goes out to people not just on Long Island or in Manhattan, but all over the country, all over the world. And our advertising rates are so cheap, you're potentially reaching thousands, tens of thousands of people in a way that direct mail or circulars or papering windshields just can't match. If you think you can't afford to advertise on the radio, think again. We have options to fit all kinds of budgets and needs. And if you think radio is an ineffective way to reach people, well, you're listening to me right now, aren't you? So come on. Bring your message to my medium. Call 516-295-1511. 516-295-1511. We can email you the rate card or see prices on my website, davesgoneby.org, or drop us an email, davesgoneby@AOL.com, and let us know if you'd want a short ad, a long ad, or to sponsor a whole segment, like the World Weird Web, or the News Gone By, or the Dave's Gone By Bad Pun of the Week. Don't be good, be punderful. Continuing the News Gone By with another story from Germany, a 58-year-old motorist pulled into a highway rest stop for a little relief, and found himself locked in a toilet stall. The town of Lichtenau was all icy and snowy, and the lock froze on the door of the urinal. Luckily, the man heard someone using the stall next to him, shouted for help. The other guy called on his cell phone, and after about an hour waiting in the freezing cold, he was rescued by police. While they were prying the door open, they told him, "It's okay, you can stop rattling the lock now," to which he replied, "Lock? Those are my balls." Speaking of poop, last week in Everett, Washington, no one was injured, but a lot of people were grossed out when a tractor trailer stopped short and spilled 2,000 pounds of human waste along Interstate 5. Said Patrol Sergeant Craig Johnson, quote, "It stunk." Drivers made the best of the smelly situation, though several said it made them homesick for New Jersey. In food news, farewell to Michael Vail, a veteran of Broadway and film and over 1,300 television commercials. But he was best of all known for playing Fred the Baker in more than 15 years of Dunkin' Donuts commercials. Yeah, he was the time to make the donuts guy. Michael Vail was 83 years old, and guess what this spokesman for donuts died from? Diabetes. A company spokesman praised Vail for, quote, "his sense of humor and humble nature." He said Vail was a beloved American icon who touched millions. However, we are going in a new direction with our next spokesman. That one will die of cancer. Also in food news, just what the world needs, a stronger beer. German beermeister Harald Schneider says he's come up with the world's most potent brew, 25.4% alcohol. He ferments the stuff for 3 months and then serves it in a shot glass. Schneider says reaction has been favorable to the taste, kind of a cross between beer and sherry, but people can only drink 2 or 3 glasses, he warns. Otherwise, quote, "they'll drop like flies," unquote. Local authorities are concerned that this super strong beer may lead to unwitting drunk driving, hangovers, and alcohol-related deaths. On the other hand, they do predict 60% fewer hernias for baseball vendors.
La reina de la noche, la diosa del vudú. Yo no podré salvarme, podrás salvarte tú.
Celebrity news, few famosos have been more guarded about their sexuality than Ricky Martin. When Living La Vida Loca made him a superstar a few years back, speculation was rampant that the salsa king was a salsa queen. And to this date, he's never made a definitive statement about his sexual preferences, nor should he have to. However, in the December issue of Blender Music Magazine, Martin answered pretty much every other sexual question possible besides that one. The interviewer, Victoria Del Silverio, asks him, "What would an ex say about you?" Martin answers, quote, "that I'm the love of their life. I'm the best man they ever had. A gentleman who treated them like a lady." Which seems to be pretty definitive, although maybe his exes liked being treated like ladies. Or just dressing up as them. No, but the interviewer then asks, "When was your last one-night stand?" Martin replied, "The other night. We met, we did it, we left. I don't know if we are going to meet again." I mean, that's pretty candid for a superstar to be so nonchalant. We're not talking about Mick Jagger circa 1972. This is the equivalent of the level of Michael Jackson in the Republican 80s, when he was marrying Presleys instead of dating Culkins. So then De Silverio asks Ricky Martin, "How would you characterize your taste in sex?" And Martin answers, quote, "I'm open to everything. There are moments for soft, gentle sex, and there are moments for a good spank in the butt, where you pull the hair and you grab the ears. There are moments for quickies, and there are moments for long evenings of romance," unquote. Okay. A little shocking, a little more descriptive than what we're used to, but not earth-shaking. We're still in Angelina Jolie, Billy Bob Thornton territory, before she became a missionary homewrecker. But okay, the Ricky Martin interview goes on. "Describe," says the writer, "describe the last porn movie you watched." Martin says, "Do you really want me to go there? Okay, Golden Showers. I love giving the golden shower. I've done it before in the shower. It's like so sexy, you know, the temperature of your body and the shower water is very different, unquote. In the words of Sam Kinison, I mean, I'm not against it, I've never tried it, but I'm not even saying that I wouldn't or that it's wrong. Gosh, we've sure come a long way from Tiger Beat. And yes, of course, the Ricky Martin interview became controversial. Right-wingers in Martin's native Puerto Rico heard about the article and freaked out. They said he should no longer head his own charity organization, the Ricky Martin Foundation, because it helps deprived children, and obviously is a pervert who shouldn't be around kids. So this forced Martin to go back and defend himself. But amazingly enough, and more power to him, he didn't say, oh, I was misquoted, or, oh, this was all taken out of context, I was just kidding. No. Martin was angry that his bombshell comments blew up. He told Univision that when he granted the interview, quote, never did it cross my mind that my comments would spark this absurd and sensationalistic public discussion. Well, I'm sorry, but that's a little naive. Ricky Martin has been in the spotlight long enough to know that if he says in an interview that he prefers wearing purple sneakers, within a week, he'll have to open a warehouse for all the footwear pouring into his manager's office. If he even so much as intimated that he was thinking about the vague possibility of potentially maybe having a baby, Entertainment Tonight would be following him around with a minicam and a bassinet. So, if he goes out there and tells a reporter, I like peeing on people. I like to go in the shower with my partner, who likes being treated like a lady, and take a whiz on their heads. I mean, he has to know that's going to make some waves. Yellow waves. Kind of gives a new meaning to that lyric in Livin' La Vida Loca. She'll make you take your clothes off and go dancing in the rain. And who knew that when Martin sang Shake Your Bon Bon, it was to get the last drops of urine off. Remember in the very early days of this program, I had a guest on Dave's Gone By named Kip Cohn. He gained some notoriety and a night in jail because he wrote nasty things about LIPA, the Long Island Power Authority, on his bills. He would send the check, he'd pay the money, but he would write on the envelope, LIPA sucks, or dump Kessel, stuff like that. And America was in such a frenzy back then over anthrax and homeland security and postal terror that some clerk at LIPA freaked and called the cops, who, surprise, overreacted. Charges were dropped, but I think both sides learned a lesson about First Amendment gadfly rights. Anyway, that was a story about a customer dissing the company. Tonight, we have a news story about a company inappropriately expressing its opinion of a customer. LaShanya Govan of Chicago was very dissatisfied with Comcast, her cable company. She called them often to complain, but was constantly juggled around and basically blown off. All well and good. Well, not good, but standard. Until she got her August bill. Instead of being addressed to her, the envelope was addressed to Bitch Dog. Ms. Govan told the Associated Press. She was absolutely shocked. I was like, you gotta be freaking kidding me, she said. Quote, I was so mad I couldn't even cuss. She complained, this time to a different department, I guess, and all things considered, the company's reply was a model of understatement. You can almost see the deadpan expression on the customer service rep's face when she said, quote, we only use the actual customer names on the bill, unquote. Really? You mean Bitch Dog was not the standard title in your database alongside Mr. and Mrs.? Well, Comcast did apologize, and they offered Govan 2 months of free cable service after her story appeared in the Chicago Tribune. Still, she's not alone in this name-calling situation. In the same story, AP reported that for no apparent reason at all, People's Energy customer Jeffrey Barnes started getting his bills addressed to Jeffrey Scrotum Bag Barnes, not to be confused with the famous jazz musician Jimmy Scrotum Bag Barnes, who played in the Hot Fives. No, just kidding. But the Citizens Utility Board of Illinois did say that this kind of rudeness is extremely rare, mainly because it's so easy to track down who's responsible. So whoever it is from the Princess Grace Foundation sending me letters addressed to Dave the Turd Burglar, I'm on your case. Watch out. In health news, you know, I think collagen lip injections are gross to begin with. But wait till you hear this. The London Guardian reports that a Chinese company that ships products around the world uses some interesting ingredients in its cosmetics. According to the newspaper's investigation, a Chinese company worker admitted, very nonchalantly, that their collagen was made from tissue taken from aborted fetuses and skin, quote, harvested from the corpses of executed convicts, unquote. The newspaper said that the spokesman would not formally admit to making this statement, but they had him earlier dead to rights, telling the reporter it's traditional to use convict skin and, quote, nothing to make such a big fuss about, unquote. Now, China kills about 5,000 convicts a year, which might explain why, instead of names for lip gloss like Persimmon Pink or Crimson Curtain, the company offers You My Bitch Brown and 8636201 Red. Now, ordinarily, this last story would sound really revolting, but coming after all that skin injection stuff, not to mention old scrotum bag Barnes, a German inventor is denying a published report that his new fuel oil runs on dead cats. Actually, it's still pretty gross, even after the fetus lip thing. But anyway, Christian Koch, patent holder of the KD500, says that he can produce high-quality fuel from refuse, like paper and plastic and textiles. But a story in Berlin's Bild newspaper says he says that garbage mixed with 20 cat corpses can fill up and run a regular tank of gas. Of course, Koch says this is purely theoretical, and not only that, using dead cats for fuel is unfeasible, because the price of Chinese food would go up 50%. And that's the news gone by for January 29th, 2006. Please send your comments, opinions, and fecal collagen to Dave's Gone By, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. That's Dave's Turd Burglar Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. We reserve the right to read your comments on the air, name withheld upon request, although if the Attorney General asks for it, what the hell, we'll give it to him. But give us your thoughts, your jokes, your opinions. DavesGoneBy@AOL.com is the email. That's D-A-V as in Victor, E-S, GoneBy@AOL.com. Our address and a lot more information is also at the website, DavesGoneBy.org. So send us email, postcards, letters, packages, but please, no bitch dogs, unless you're a truly rabid fan.
And that was news, if that was news, that was very, very, very special news.
D is for Dave, F is for fun, S is for silly and special, X is for exceptional entertainment. DFSX, Internet Radio, playing vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By, Thursday nights at 8 and 11. It's part of Live 365, but all you gotta do is visit davesgoneby.org. Click the link and listen online to classic Dave's Gone By, Thursdays 8 and 11. DFSX, letters that stand for terrific.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. If you've just stumbled on this show, or you know the program but are used to hearing it on another night, please keep in mind we're now on Sunday nights, 9 to 10. Tell your friends, tell anyone you know who might like the show. As you can hear, we're still doing the same comedy, the same fun interviews, the same ramblings and rantings and ridiculi. And we couldn't do it without the good graces of WGBB program director Tom Ross, nor for that matter without the help help of David Tanney, who runs the DFSX Comedy Channel on Live365.com. That's where you can still hear Dave's Gone By on Thursday nights, 8 and 11. They play a vintage episode of the show, some of them going back to the very beginning. So if you want more Dave than once a week, that's the place to get it. Just go to davesgoneby.org and click on the link for dfsxradio.com. davesgoneby.org is also the place to find out more about the show. See photos and song lyrics, the whole timeline since the very first episode. Give it a look. The website is also the place you can buy CDs of past episodes. Forget chocolates. Forget flowers. What could be more romantic on Valentine's Day than handing your significant other an hour of yours truly? If that doesn't test the bounds of your relationship, I don't know what will. Or get him or her my book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Laughs from cover to cover, and if your theater group is looking for some funny one-act plays to do, grab a copy and start reading. The book is on sale at my website, as is all the information about advertising on the show. You can even see a rate card there, davesgoneby.org. Thank you very much to Bob Cudmore, visiting the neighborhood tonight all the way from upstate New York, Montgomery County, where you can hear the Bob Cudmore Show every weekday morning, 6 to 10, on WVTL. 1570, WVTL.com is their website with audio stream, so you can listen to the Bob Cudmore Show anywhere. And every once in a while, you might even hear me on it. Listen anyway. And listen next week to Dave's Gone By. My special guest will be Jamie Masada, founder of the comedy club The Laugh Factory. Changed the whole comedy scene on the West Coast, and now there's a branch right in Manhattan on 8th Avenue. I'll be talking to Jamie about how he started, some of the famous comedians who have played at the clubs, and his thoughts about stand-up comedy in general. Jamie Masada, next Sunday night, February 5th, on Dave's Gone By. And then the week after, one day before his birthday, former monkey Peter Tork. Yes, Dave's Gone By is back, and eclectic as ever. Thank you to my beautiful wife Joyce for all her love and support, and thank you all for listening every Sunday night at 9. See you in a week. Until then, don't miss your days going by. Good night. Be sure to worry less and cud more. And gone by.